Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A couple of weeks ago on Palm Sunday, some of you heard me speak about Egeria. Egeria was a pilgrim in the late 4th century who went to the Middle East and spent a long time, and it seems to me it must have been a lot of money as well, travelling around all sorts of holy sites, places where Abraham and Moses and Elijah and other biblical figures did their thing. But the highlight of the record that Egeria wrote about her pilgrimage was spending Holy Week in Jerusalem and travelling through that week with the church and all of its ceremonies and services from Palm Sunday to Easter Day. And she writes a wonderful account of all the liturgies and prayers and things that they did. And the high point was on Easter Day, or rather Easter night, when the church would gather together, particularly with those who were going to be baptized. And they would hear stories of salvation from the Old Testament. They would then light candles. They would proclaim that Christ was risen. And the baptism candidates would be baptized by immersion. And then they would put on white robes as a sign of coming to Christ, being purified, numbered among God's people, adopted as Jesus' brothers and sisters, God's daughters and sons. And for 8 days, the newly baptized Christians would wear those white robes proudly, confidently, in joyful assurance of faith, to proclaim that they belong to the church. They had taken that great step and become God's family on Easter Day. And on this day, they would take the robes off, by which time they'd probably got a little bit dirty and dusty. And the week of joyful celebration and high excitement would come to its end. The white robes would be put to one side, and ordinary life, ordinary Christian life, would begin. And I think that might have been an experience consonant with the name that English Christians often use for this day. We sometimes call it Low Sunday. And maybe that's because it's low in number of worshippers compared to the flock who come out on Easter Day. Maybe because it's a bit low in intensity. And brothers and sisters, I love you very dearly, but I don't feel the energy of Easter morning. Please, can we let the Spirit in and Eastertide continue? Maybe we call it Low Sunday because after all of the hard work and energy and joy of Holy Week and Easter celebrations, we just come down a bit, don't we, from the high. But coming down to earth is an intermittent feature of the Christian life, part of the experience of God's people in our humanity, in our frailty. Think of God's people in the Old Testament. They had been through the Red Sea. God had saved his people with an uplifted arm and a mighty hand. He had done that marvelous miracle for them, liberating them from Egypt, from slavery and oppression, bringing them into freedom, promising them Canaan, the promised land, dripping with milk and honey. And what did they do? Well, as Jeremiah lamented, they went their own way. They forgot about God. They looked backwards to Egypt, the cucumbers, the onions. What a wonderful time we had there, forgetting that they were slaves. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, some of God's people lived like that psalm, forgetting about God, treating him as if he didn't exist, going on in their own foolish ways. And within the New Covenant, within the New Testament, sometimes the Christian life is frustrating. Sometimes it involves failure. Read the Acts of the Apostles and the epistles in the New Testament. It isn't always glorious joy. There are tough times and frustrations. Think of the disciples on that Easter week. They'd seen Jesus, they'd met him. And in their enthusiasm, in their delight, in their inspiration and faith, they want to share the gospel. They want to preach good news. And the first person they choose to do it ought to be on board with the program. He's one of the disciples, Thomas. We've seen the Lord. They proclaim their Easter faith joyfully, hopefully, and they're met with resistance. I will not believe unless I see. I'm not going to take this step of faith. Paul writing to the Romans sounds a bit like this too, doesn't he? Frustration, difficulty. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. When what I want to do, what is good, evil lies close at hand. A frustrating place to be, a hard way to live. And among New Testament scholars, there's a lot of debate about whose experience Paul is describing. Is he talking about his pre-Christian state? Is he talking about how non-Christians live, separated from Christ? Or is he pointing to moments within the Christian experience when growth in faith is slow or prevented, when we don't turn to the Lord, when we find ourselves knowing what to do and doing the opposite? Well, I dug out some of my textbooks from my theological studies over 30 years ago this week and had a good look through them. And it's a very complicated debate, and I can't summarize it here. And to be honest, I didn't feel I could understand those books that I'd read 30 years ago, but that's another story. But I do think that Paul is writing here about a common human experience. Whenever human beings live according to law and do not live according to God's grace. Whenever we try in our own efforts to be good, whenever we rely upon ourselves to do the right thing, we will be frustrated. Whether this is a Mosaic Jew trying and failing to follow all of the precepts of Moses' law, or whether we're thinking about a Muslim trying to live out the Quranic law and failing to live all of its precepts, or a Christian trying very, very hard to live according to Christian ethics, trying very, very hard to be good, to do the right thing in our own strength. Sometimes we will not do the good that we want, but the evil that we do not want is what we will find ourselves doing. Without worship, without prayer, without a living relationship to Jesus, without turning to Christ for him to reveal his grace and mercy, his spirit, his power in which we are called to live, the Christian life could easily be a series of continual frustrations, a long sequence of low Sundays. We too can become practical atheists, fools who say effectively that there is no God to grace us, to lead us, to teach us, to inspire us and empower us. Fools who think it's down to us, that goodness comes from our efforts, our striving. That will bring us low. I do not do the good that I want. I do the very thing I hate, says Paul. I wonder if you have what spiritual directors would call a besetting sin, some sin that you struggle with, something wrong that you do that you would dearly love to leave behind, but find you can't. some appetite or temptation that always draws you in, some way of thinking that's negative and harmful and hurtful, but you can't escape, dark thoughts about yourself or about someone else. Or maybe a besetting sin of speech. Sometimes you find yourself blurting out some unkindness, some criticism, some vituperation that you really don't want to do, but find you can't control. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. But who can rescue me from this body of death? Asks Paul. Who can deliver us from this way of being? Thanks be to God, he says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God for salvation, through Jesus whose Spirit is available to sanctify us and purify us, as Paul will expound in chapter 8 of Romans. Christ Jesus, who, when we come to worship him, will turn our hearts and minds away from all our strivings, away from our efforts to be good in our own strength. Christ Jesus, who, when we praise him and glorify him, leads us to accept his grace, to begin that work and continue that work of conforming our minds and our lives to his. So maybe this feels a low Sunday after the excitement of Easter, but it need not. Every Sunday is an Easter day when we remember the resurrection. Every Sunday is an Easter day when we reach out to the risen Christ and invite him into our hearts. Every Sunday is an Easter day when Christ invites us to reach out to him, to see his wounds, to fully appreciate his love and his life, and to trust not in our capacity to be good, but believe in his grace to save. Every Sunday is an Easter day to proclaim with Thomas again and again, as the risen life of Christ enfolds us and engulfs us, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. Jesus, you are my Lord and my God.